Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand with me as you are able? Let's sing together, Waymaker. We worship in so many ways as we gather together. And one of those, and some people think that's not really worship, is it? And it is. We have the opportunity when we came in this morning to give. We have the opportunity when we leave to give. And if you don't want to give, that's just fine. God takes care of things all the time. But we like to do during the service. It used to be in our tradition, we would pass the plate around and maybe sing a song or listen to Loretta play. And that to me is distracting. What we do, that's already been done. We want to sit with no distractions and give thanks to God. He is blessed. He is good. And we take this couple minutes as Loretta plays for us, and that's all we do. Just sit and give thanks. Would you do that with me? Worshiping you right now. We thank you for providing for us, sustaining us. We thank you for all the little things we don't even think of. And God, we give back to you now these gifts. And we want to use these gifts for only your glorious purposes and nothing else. Help us to do that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Volunteer choir, come on up. Those of you who are not familiar with that, anyone here who loves to sing, we'd like you to come up. We have no real rehearsal. We just sing a hymn that you can see in the hymnal, which if you grab your hymnal, you can come on up. We're singing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. So come on up, grab a hymnal. We sing parts, and Jim kind of tells us what he wants us to do. All right? Come on up.
This isn't going to be done the way we normally do. The first verse is going to be the acapella. The first verse will be acapella. We'll have Loretta play chords for us, but we'll sing it slowly and somberly. And then when we get to "And the Roll Was Called Up Yonder," we'll start singing.
Really nice.
And then from then on, we'll sing the song as we normally do. So the first verse is going to be slow. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Should be four.
Thank you.
Well, when we're going to continue now with the second scripture reading, which is a continuation of the story we started, Acts 13, and now we're doing 6 through 12. Okay, they, Barnabas and Simeon and John, had traveled through the whole island. This is of Cyprus. And they traveled through it until they came to Paphos. And there they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet by the name of Bar-Jesus. Boo! Who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. Now the proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Emmaus, that's Bar-Jesus, boo, the sorcerer, for that was what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And Bar-Jesus, boo, was told by Saul and Paul, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the child of the devil and the enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now, the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time and not even able to see the light of the sun. Immediately, a mist of darkness came over him, and he groped, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. But when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord.
Amen.
This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
And it's also the way it works in real life.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. You've been with me since very early part of the year as we continue to go through the book of Acts. It's going to take a while, but it's a great book. And I have loved delving into this and taking us through it and not trying to rush it as we go through. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever had a pet. Probably most of you. Many of us have had pets. We had two dogs for quite a while, and then both the dogs died, and our kids had dogs, and we became grandparents to dogs, and we get to get them from time to time. So we get a dog fixed. That way, if Lisa and I want to go somewhere whenever, we don't have to be concerned about the dogs. We get our dog fixed, and I love that because I love animals. I mean, I grew up on a farm. I should love animals, shouldn't I? But you know, some animals have this innate sense of danger or that something is amiss. You've heard of cats that can determine whether someone has cancer or not. Have you heard some of those stories? Or someone's dying and there's this sense they have that something is going on, and if people pay attention to it, sure enough, they realize that someone is dying. Or I don't know how birds do this, but sometimes birds, if you know a storm is coming before you even see it coming in the sky, you can watch how birds sometimes will react, and they'll kind of tell you something's coming. Or when they know when to head south and when to head north. Now, some of you folks who go south for the winter, you just watch the birds and you see them, it's time for us to go too. But they have the sense, and we don't oftentimes have that same sense, do we? What about us humans? I think sometimes we have tuned out the deeper senses because we rely too much on technology or people's expertise in certain areas. What about something that to some as Christians is a little bit new? What about the Holy Spirit leading? Are we attuned to that? Are we comfortable with that? I think you and I need to be more in tune with what God wants for us, and sometimes we've been too much attuned to all the noise around us instead. What is the strategy of Christian leadership? Well, I think it starts with Matthew 18:20. Some of you know that verse. starts out wherever two or three are gathered in His name. Now that's important to note. Whenever two or three are gathered, Christians are gathered together. It doesn't have to be in a building like this. It can be anywhere. But wherever two or three are gathered in His name, that is, meaning for the purposes of God, He's there. We gather on Sunday morning, and I pray that as we gather, I know it is my purpose as we gather to gather in His name. We gather to worship. And what does it mean to worship? To give worth. And He's the one we give worth to. He doesn't need us to worship. Because He's worth without us even acknowledging it, isn't it? I mean, God is, He is who He is. He doesn't need us to do so, but He asks us and desires us to do that. So we give Him worth, so we gather together in His name for the purposes of God. If we're gathering for the purposes of God, then we need to desire to do what God is calling us to do. And I'm not so sure, and I even admit this myself as pastor, sometimes I'm not really good at listening to where God is leading, because I get interfered with my own thoughts and my own agenda. Sometimes I'm thinking that this is the way we ought to go, and God says, I want to listen. So, wherever two or three are gathered in His name, God is there, and as God is there, God is bringing about His glorious and wonderful purposes. That's what He wants to do through us and in us. But what is our usual strategy? We don't want to paddle upstream. I was thinking about the swimmers yesterday and the kayakers yesterday and thinking, you know, well, I've got a motor in my boat. Doesn't matter which way the wind's going. It doesn't matter which way the waves are going. I can push against it, and I'm sitting there and I'm not even exerting any energy whatsoever. Sometimes we have to go upstream, but we don't want to paddle upstream because it's too hard. It's too hard to do that. We'd rather paddle downstream. We'd rather go with the flow, whatever the flow is, right? And you know, usually in the world we live in today, oftentimes the flow is what the world wants to do. It's not what God wants to do. Sometimes you and I are called to go against the flow. Sometimes you need to paddle upstream. Our usual strategy is, I want to seek what's best for me. You see, what's behind a lot of what we do is, okay, if I do this, how is it going to benefit me? That's human nature. That's not a spirit-filled kind of nature, but that's human nature, isn't it? I want to do what's ultimately going to benefit me. So if I help this person over here in some way with something that they have that's going on, I'm thinking, well, I want to do it, and I want people to know I'm doing it because that benefits me in some way. Lifts me up. Makes me feel good about myself. You see what I'm saying? Even when it's something that's good that's being done, and it's still good, it's not God glorifying good. It's me glorifying good. It's far less. The reward or the blessing that you received has already happened in just the act. But when we do it for God, it's different. Our usual strategy would be look for the easy way through it. Less work. Just like the paddling upstream, very similar. Look for the easy way through whatever it is we have to go through. Which might mean I'm just going to ignore what someone else's needs are because I got stuff to do myself. Or what our usual strategy would be, don't get too involved. We like doing that in church. There's plenty of people here to get done what needs to get done. I'll just pray for them. And I doubt if we even do that. Sometimes we just say, I don't want to get too involved. Let someone else do that, not me. That is oftentimes our usual strategy. I'm saying that's a carnally given strategy, or that's our old nature kind of strategy to life. is their strategy, though, in ministry. And I wanted to look at the text this morning to help us to see the kind of strategy that the early church was using when it came to what next. I mean, the early church, they didn't have a whole lot of established churches all over the place. They were planting churches everywhere. And it was expanding so rapidly, they sometimes had to ask the question, are we doing things the right way? You know, yeah, all the established churches now, everybody does it a certain way. You know, you do it this way, you do it this way. That gets in the way sometimes, too. Because, again, am I doing what I'm doing for God's glory? Am I doing it because that's the way the church is supposed to do it? Is there strategy in ministry? Chapter 13, the first three verses. Notice something. Divine strategy is different than human strategy. Because human strategy is just consulting with each other about what it is we need to do. And then we come up with that common whatever it is. The majority rules and that's what we do, right? That's human strategy. Divine strategy comes through what? Divine strategy comes through worship. And fasting. I don't know how many of you, I don't use fasting enough. There have been times in my life when I've seen that there's something extremely important going on. I make that a practice of fasting. Because in fasting, the point of fasting ultimately is to make your focus entirely on God. Now for me, that's a hard thing to do when I love food. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that I don't think is used often enough in church when we're seeking God and we're seeking direction in this strategy here that the church is using. Those who are gathered there, the prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manius and Saul, as they're all gathered there together, what are they doing? Their strategy is we come together and we worship. And we fast. That's a good strategy, folks, for the church. It's a good strategy for us personally. Not just in what we're doing as the community of faith, but what am I doing in my own walk with the Lord? It's a good strategy. It's divine strategy. It's not human strategy. When I use human strategy, it gets all messed up with sin and self and all those other things. It's oftentimes not matched up God's divine strategy for me. The human agenda is superseded by God's agenda when the Holy Spirit is allowed to control. You see, that's what happens when we worship and when we're fasting. We're seeking God's agenda and not our own. It's a spiritual discipline that can really help us to figure out, God, what do you want to do? And it's then when we realize what we're set apart to do. You saw what happened with Barnabas and Saul as they were praying and they were fasting together. The Holy Spirit said to those who were gathered. Now, see, it wasn't majority rules here, was it? No. It was the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and they prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They were set apart. Barnabas and Saul were set off. They were set apart to do something. But you know what? We forget the other half of this. I believe all those who were gathered there who had prayed with them were also set apart. They were set apart to be support for what Barnabas and Saul were doing. And perhaps later on were set apart for some other purpose. But I want you to know that when we pray together, the community of faith, that all of us are to be set apart for a certain something. And set apart might mean I'm part of the support. Oh man, do I appreciate prayer warriors in the church. A lot of times prayer warriors are behind the scenes people. No one really knows what they're doing. God knows what they're doing. And I know what they're doing. And I appreciate that. I have prayer warriors here, and I'm not going to single them out because they wouldn't desire that anyway. I remember a prayer warrior, though, that I can single out. When I was in the church in Northern Michigan, it was a little old lady named Alpha. 97 years old when she finally died. She was in the hospital for 6 weeks. They thought she was going to die after day one. Her doctor was a member of the church too, and he loved her dearly. And he told Alpha, because Alpha was ready to go be with Jesus. He says, you probably won't make it through the night. She lasted for 6 weeks. She was discouraged by lasting for 6 weeks because she was ready to go. And she kept, every time I went to visit her, she says, why didn't God take me yet? Because I'm ready to go. I didn't know, you know, as pastor, a lot of times you don't know what the answer to give to someone. And then God kind of does something. And God did something. The chaplain of the hospital comes into her room along with the doctor. And the first thing that happens is Alpha looks at both of them and says, how are you two doing today? I've been praying for you. Alpha, after they both left, I said, I know why you're still here. Because God's not done with you yet. And we still need prayer. And you're the prayer warrior. Now when I said that, she was like, okay, all right, then I'll just wait. I mean, not, she'll keep praying, but I'll just wait. And it wasn't but maybe 2 weeks later, that frail little body with a powerful soul went to be with Jesus. She was set apart for that. And I think it was people like her that helped me in ministry, because I knew she was praying dearly for us. She was also one that whenever Lisa and I, with our little tiny kids, when our kids were little, whenever we would be going on vacation, I don't know how she knew it, she'd come all the way from her apartment building and come over to the parsonage and give us some money. When you go, I want to make sure that she didn't have a cent to her name, but that was Alpha. I say all that to say this was a woman who knew that she was set apart for a certain purpose, even though she wouldn't announce it with a horn or anything like that. And you and I are also set apart too. Now Barnabas and Saul were to be sent off and ministering in some powerful ways. But those who were back there that had been supporting them and told them, we are placing our hands on you and you are going to go and do these things, they were also just as important as Barnabas and Saul were. They were supported in ministry and they were set apart to do that as well. You see, the divine strategy is never conflicting. It's always mutually supporting. When God's calling the church to do something, when God's calling people to do something, the ministry and the supporting and all the things that are going on around that should be what? They should be mutually supporting and never conflicting. And you know what happens in the church sometimes? Sin gets in the way and self gets in the way and all these other things get in the way and it looks like someone is getting credit for something and I don't really like that because I want a little credit for what I'm doing and then you get this thing that goes on and it's not that mutually supporting thing that if you're called to be doing what you're doing, God will equip you to do what you're doing and it'll be mutually supporting for each other. Do you know what happens when we're doing what God calls us to do? The idiot steps forward. The devil. You know, whenever the church or whenever a group of people are trying to do what God wants them to do, the devil's doing everything he can to mess things up, isn't he? So what's he do here? He kind of introduces us to this dude, Elymas, the sorcerer. When someone else, Sergius Paulus, wants to hear the good news of Christ, he wants to hear the gospel from Barnabas and Saul, and he invites them to come and speak to him about the good news of Jesus Christ, but then someone who's in his sphere of influence is trying to stop them. And that's what Satan does. He tries to stop us. He tries to say, no, no, no. Resistance comes. When resistance comes, sometimes we turn around and walk the other way. Or we can confront the Word of God. What did Barnabas and Saul do? They confronted Elymas with the Word of God. Verse 10, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you, and you know what happened. She was blinded for a while. I hope and pray he learned his lesson. I hope and pray that he turned his life around and gave his life to Jesus eventually. But when we're doing what God calls us to do, he will equip us while we are doing what God's calling us to do. And I want you to know that. Because sometimes it's scary to step out in faith. Sometimes it's scary to step out and do something. God, I've never done this before. This is a scary kind of thing. I don't know, God. I don't know. But if God is truly calling you and you really sense in your heart that the Holy Spirit is leading you in a certain kind of direction, then God will equip you. And I want to say one other thing about that. He'll equip you to do whatever it is you are called to do at the time. And it's not up to you to determine whether the thing was successful or not. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes God calls us to do something and it looks like it fails. But it's part of a bigger plan. Because you know what happens when we try something and we're doing what God called us to do and it looks like it fails? What's happening? We're growing. We're growing. We're trusting that God, I trusted you with this. It didn't end up the way I envisioned it would go, because if I'm doing what you're calling me to do, then everything's going to turn out just beautiful. It doesn't always happen that way. We're still called to trust. You know, it's in some of those times in my life when I think I've been doing what God has called me to do and then it just didn't seem to turn out the way I thought it would turn out. But he's still calling me to trust. He's still calling me to trust. Not everything that Barnabas and Saul touched worked out beautifully all the time. Did it? How many times we read about Saul who became Paul and all the difficult things he had to go through. All the heartaches he had to endure. But he trusted God, because when you're called, he'll equip you while you're there doing whatever it is that God calls you to do. Who is the Lord with? His hand is on the faithful. His hand is on the faithful and against the wickedness. And so you know that wicked will not ultimately triumph. God is ultimately going to triumph. Wickedness may have its day, but it will not ultimately triumph. And I want to remind you of that. That's why we always say, as those signs are out there all over the place around here, God's got it. God's got it. You and I are called. And if you and I are called, then we are equipped. It's a promise of God. You and I are called to something. You may not know what it is, but you and I are called. And if you and I are called, then we are equipped. If we are obedient, the task he gives us will be completed the way he desires. Not the way I desire. I get in the way sometimes. Because I wanted it to end a certain way and it didn't. I wanted the Lions to win the Super Bowl last year and they didn't. They blew it the game before. I don't know if God really cared who won, but I did. I did. Maybe this year. The enemy can't stop what God's doing. You know that too, right? Satan can't stop what God's doing. He's a little piece of whatever compared to God, isn't he? Remember the song we sang for VBS? And I'm going to do it one more time here and then I'll let us go here. Remember the little song we sing? If I had a little white box to put my Jesus in, I'd take him out and share them with my friends. And if I had a little black box to put the devil in, I'd take him out, guided by the Holy Spirit, and smash his face and put him back again. Jim, that was one of the VBS songs I wanted to remind us of. You never heard that one before? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's what I'll end with. Be confident in him. Be confident in him, because he can take care of the enemy that we can't take care of. And if you feel defeated, you're not. It just means God's not done with you yet. Oh, some of you here this morning probably feel defeated. You struggle with something for a long time. and you feel like God's not listening and God doesn't care, and that's crap. He's not done yet. So trust Him. Trust Him completely. He'll get you through whatever it is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn in closing to Freely, Freely. If you'd stand with me as we sing, 447, also up on the screen. Let's sing this song this morning.